Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Speak Truth. I'm your host, Blake Gideon, senior pastor of the First Baptist Church here in Edmond, Oklahoma. Again, usually I have some guys in here with me asking questions, but today our questions were submitted from our audience, and so I want to answer a few of these questions that were submitted by some of you. All right, so I've got five questions here. And they're not easy questions, I'll just say that. They're all dealing with controversial issues in our day. And I'll give you a taste. So here's the first question. The person asks, what do we say, or what do we do as friends and family when we are invited to a same-sex or transgender wedding? Okay, well, that definitely is a hot button issue in today's society for sure. For those who follow, closely what's going on in pastoral ministry or what's happening in church ministry, this was a hot button issue with Alistair Begg here recently, that he went to a wedding of a friend. I don't know the whole detail, but it was a same-sex ceremony, and Alistair Begg went. I'm not here to say anything positive or negative about Alistair Begg, about his character personally, but I will tell you what the scripture says. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read these words. It says, therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And then he says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things that they do in secret. But anything that is exposed to the light, it becomes visible. Well, just reading this word, we know that marriage was created by God, and it is to be held in holy matrimony between a man and a woman, not between two men, not between two women. As a matter of fact, that's not marriage. It's a perversion. And so according to the Word of God, we are not, as Christians, to participate in works of darkness. And so I would say that a same-sex wedding is just that. A transgender wedding is a work of darkness that we are not to participate in. The Bible's clear about that. We're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He says, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness. That's what the Word of God says. So my counsel is that no, as a Christian, we should not attend same-sex weddings or transgender weddings. Some would say, well, that sounds absolutely unloving. Well, I'll tell you what's unloving is to promote and to condone a sin that you see in someone else's life, especially if it's, especially a sin that is so besetting, like homosexuality. Those who practice homosexuality and those who give over to same-sex attractions are overcome by besetting sin. They have a sin in their life that is taking control and is determining the decisions that they make and even determining how they see life in general. And so our responsibility as Christians is to expose the darkness. We are to shine the light of God's truth on the darkness, with the hopes of seeing those who are in darkness brought into the light. And so I would say that one of the most kind things that we could do would be not to attend and then tell that person why you're not attending. It's more important to honor Christ than it is to be worried about offending people. I would rather offend people than I would offend the Lord. And so to answer your question, no, we are not to attend or condone or support in any way same-sex or transgender weddings. As a matter of fact, the Bible says no, take no part in them, instead expose them. All right? So the next question that I have, number two, how do we as Christians and Christian families handle this? We have already encountered this decision in our own family. Yeah, I think that everything should be done in love and with a heart of kindness. And so when we have a family member who is in a, who is practicing homosexuality or lesbianism, or if they're considering marriage of someone of the same sex, then of course you want to set that person down in love. And you want to make sure that you've prayed through this and that your heart is prepared, that you've prayed for them, and that you come to them out of love and kindness and with Scripture. I mean, you want to come with the Word of God and to share with them what the Word of God, what the Word of God says, and explain to them very lovingly and very kindly what you believe and why you believe it's wrong from the Word of God. But at the end of the day, your goal is to honor Christ. And Jesus said that some of the, you know, your enemies would be the members of your own house. Why? Because when it comes to following Christ, there are clear lines that have to be drawn in the sand. And there's going to be clear divisions. And we should not be surprised that there are divisions in our family. Now, these divisions ought not be sinful, and we ought to seek reconciliation. But there are times when it comes to truth and standing on truth that there will be division. But we have to know that what we're doing honors Christ and that our goal is to honor Him. And so I would definitely sit down and talk with the person and share with them why you're not going to attend their wedding. And hopefully the respect that you show them in lovingly explaining where you stand, I would pray that they in return would respect that belief and show you the same respect in return. More than likely they won't, but nevertheless, you've got to be willing to do what's right. Okay, my third question, and by the way, I haven't heard of this Bible study, so I really won't be able to speak to it, but I will say something though. But the question is do you approve of the new Bible study out entitled The After Party Toward Better Christian Politics by Russell Moore, David French, and Curtis Chang? No, I have not read this, nor am I familiar with it. However, I am familiar with the authors, and I do not want to attack these men personally because I don't know them to that level. But I will say, these are not men that I'm going to be taking political advice from, okay? These men, they lean to the left. They have been contaminated with woke ideologies, and these are not men that I'm going to go to learn how to do Christian politics or how to be a Christian in the political arena. These men have compromised. They've compromised on the issue of abortion. They've compromised. And if they're willing to compromise on abortion, then what else are they willing to compromise on? And so I do not promote this Bible study. I do not, simply because of who authored it. All right? Number four, what would you say to a neighbor who is pushing, and by the way, this is a hard question to even read, and there's a lot of things I need to say, but here's the question. What would you say to a neighbor who is pushing their fourth grader to have an abortion? Well, I'm going to tell you the first thing that comes to my mind when I read that is I would contact the authorities, first thing. If I had a neighbor and they had a fourth grader who was pregnant, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to contact the authorities and make sure that they know about it. Make sure that they know that there is a fourth grader living next to my house who's pregnant. I don't have to know all the details to know that somebody dropped the ball somewhere. That child was, you know, anyway, that's the first thing that I would do is contact the authorities, the proper authorities. If you have not done that, you need to do that. This person goes on to say, I do not know the circumstances of the pregnancy. Okay? So before we even talk about the issue of abortion, somebody needs to make sure that that fourth grader, they need to investigate that situation and find out how in the world that fourth grader ended up in a position where she's pregnant. Was she molested? Was she raped? Was this, you know, what happened? That those questions need to be answered. And so abortion's never okay, no matter the situation. It's a life. It's a human life. You know, as tragic as it is to hear about a fourth grader who's pregnant, that's horrible. But nevertheless, the child in her is just as important as she is. And so two wrongs don't make a right. You don't combat evil with evil. So is it evil that this fourth grader is with child? Yeah, it is. So does that justify abortion? No, because abortion is evil too. So now you're trying to combat evil with evil. And that will just further add to the trauma of this young person's life. So adoption, of course, is the answer. If not abortion, but adoption. And so that's a hard one to deal with, only because I'm angered by the fact when I read this that there's a fourth grader who's pregnant. But I'm sure that this is not. I'm sure this is more common than what I know. But my first reaction is go to the authorities. My second action is somebody needs to step in and intervene and let this family know that two wrongs don't make a right. Two evils are just that. Evil, when you use evil to fight evil, you only progress evil. So I would encourage this mother to adopt this child, but don't murder this child. Number five, what is your advice if one of our kids comes home and says their longtime best friend has just came out homosexual? Do we restrict how much they interact with them? Yes, you do. And that's just, you're their parent. Okay, you're asking me, all right? And here's my answer. Yes, you restrict it. Why would you want to expose your child to that environment? And who knows, this friend who has come out homosexual may have attraction for your child. And your job is to protect your child. Okay, that's your job. If one of my children were to come home and they were to say, "Hey, Dad, you know, I've been friends with," I'll just use a generic name, "I've been friends with Bobby for 11 years, and Bobby told me today he's gay." Well, if my son has been friends with Bobby for 11 years, then I would hope that I would have some type of relationship with Bobby, that he's been in my home, he's come to church with us, whatever. And so I'm going to, I'm going to make sure that Bobby's parents know. And then if I get a chance, my son and I, we're going to talk with Bobby, and we're going to show him what the Word of God says. And hopefully Bobby will see the truth in the light of God's Word, hear the gospel, and repent and believe. So that's going to be my first step, is we're going to try to teach Bobby the truth and show him the truth. And now if Bobby rejects the truth And if he continues to live and pursue a homosexual lifestyle, then he is going to pursue it apart from having a relationship with my son. Now, that doesn't mean that my son can't still have a Christian witness or influence in his life, but that's as far as it's going to go. And I'm not speaking to you about something that I haven't done myself. Now, my sin was not homosexuality, but I can remember when I first got saved, you know, I had buddies who I ran around with who came to me and they said, hey, let's go do this or let's go do that. And I had to tell them, I've given my life to Christ. If you want to go fishing, great. If you want to go, you know, if you want to go hunting, great. But there are certain things that I'm not going to do with you anymore. And I told my best friend that. And as a result of that, our relationship wasn't as strong as it used to be. But, you know, I knew I honored Christ. And so the reality is that you need to protect your child. You need to educate your child first and foremost. Okay? And if you can, try to, you know, if I don't know how old their friends are, but if you can, you know, your job primarily, first and foremost, is to protect your child, okay, from the influence of perversion. That's your responsibility. So I appreciate all your questions for today. Until we meet again, serve the King.